Gil-galad was an elven king, of him the harpers sadly sing, goes the song. But who was Gil-galad? What was his legend? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background, history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, this is the place for you. Welcome. Eärendil Gil-galad was the fourth and last High King of the Noldor in the West, that most interesting and dynamic group of elves in Middle-earth. And he was king almost all the way through the Second Age. He was there for the rise and fall of Sauron, the rise and fall of Numenor, the forging and distribution of the rings, the creation of Gondor and Arnor, and much more. We know of Elrond and Galadriel as leaders of the resistance to Sauron in the Second and Third Ages, but make no mistake, Gil-galad was their king, and the chief opponent of Sauron in the Second Age. Tolkien doesn't tell us the exact time and date of Gil-galad's birth, but it was in the late First Age. The first we hear of him is when, as a child, his father sent him and his mother to safekeeping with Círdan in the havens of the Falas. This was around the time of the Dagor Bragollach, when Morgoth broke the long-standing siege of Angband and his armies poured forth into Middle-earth. It was also during this time that Gil-galad's father died. This must surely have hit him hard, although these were hard times for all of the free folks of Middle-earth. Many, many died, and even the refuge of the Havens of the Falas eventually fell to Morgoth, forcing Círdan to flee, taking his ward Gil-galad with him to found yet another refuge on the island of Beylar in the mouths of the River Sirion. Fingon, the High King of the Noldor at the time, was killed, and his brother and successor Turagon died just a few years later when Gondolin fell. Gil-galad, now having reached his maturity, inherited the crown. There is, we should note, a little bit of uncertainty about Gil-galad's parentage and place in the succession. We are never told his mother's name, for example, and without diving too much into the weeds of side notes and later discovered drafts, Tolkien seems to have originally intended for Gil-galad to be the son of Finrod, then decided that Finrod should be childless, so suggested he could be Fingon the High King's son instead, which is what Christopher Tolkien used when pulling together the Silmarillion. But Christopher later decided that this was a mistake on his part, probably because it called into doubt the legality of Turgon's kingship, that's Gil-galad's predecessor as High King, because surely Gil-galad would have inherited if he were Fingon's son. Tolkien Sr. apparently finally decided that Gil-galad should be Orodeth's son, although he never changed his official manuscripts to take account of this. It's all rather convoluted. Taking all of this into account, I think we should probably go with Christopher Tolkien's later instinct on all this to just leave it shrouded in a bit of fog and focus on the end result. The important point is that Gil-galad was always Noldor royalty, in every account, and when he acceded to the throne, he was recognised by all as the rightful High King of the Elves of the West. This accession, as we said, happened towards the end of the First Age of Middle-earth. Being still young, and with the elves as a whole very much still on the defensive, he seems to have stayed on the Isle of Beylar through the War of Wrath, the end of the First Age, and then the reshaping of the world. Gil-galad's rule proper therefore began at the start of the Second Age. It's hard to overstate how seismic the shift from First to Second Ages was for the elves. Countless numbers of them had been killed fighting Morgoth or each other. Their cities and palaces had almost all been destroyed. They were now no longer the preeminent power in Middle-earth. That was humans. Many of those who survived took the chance to flee to Valinor. Many of the remainder huddled together for a time in a new kingdom founded by Gil-galad in Lindon, escaping the destruction of the lands they had lived in for centuries. As such, Gil-galad became recognised as the High King of the Elves of the West. Sindar and Noldor elves alike recognised his rule, although, true to form, the Noldor soon caused divisions. Some Sindar and Nandor elves, I've done a video explaining all these different kinds of elves if you're interested, but some elves headed off far to the east, to Lothlorien or Greenwood the Great, because they didn't want to be near the Noldor elves, who had done quite a lot of bad stuff in the First Age, to be fair. And some of the Noldor, headed by Celebrimbor, also headed east to establish a colony in Eregion, near to Khazad-dûm, the legendary dwarven city. Nevertheless, there were still plenty of elves who wanted to stay in the New West under Gil-galad's rule. The young Elrond and mature Círdan were among them. The elves were far from united in the Second Age, but those who stayed in the west of Middle-earth, including Elrond, Círdan and Galadriel, recognised Gil-galad's primacy. Hence his title as King of the Elves in the West. The others gave him respect, but didn't bend the knee. A few centuries of peace passed at the start of the Second Age, and finally the humans who had been rewarded for their role in the War of Roth with the gift of Numenor made contact, and Gil-galad struck up a friendship with Eldarion the Seafarer and heir to Numenor, and a strong set of diplomatic relations were established with the Crown of Numenor. But all the while, Gil-galad was starting to become aware of something dark growing in the Far East. Eventually, in the year 882 of the Second Age, he asked Eldarion to carry a message to his father, the king. This is what it read. A servant of Morgoth is stirring, and evil things wake again. Each year it gains in strength, for most men are ripe to its purpose. Not far off is the day, I judge, when it will become too great for the Eldar unaided to withstand. Behold, the darkness that is to come is filled with hatred for us, but it hates you no less. The great sea will not be too wide for its wings if it is suffered to come to full growth. The letter had a huge impact. Eldarion's father was so uncertain how to respond that he abdicated and let his son take the throne, and Eldarion did respond. Although, as Tolkien notes, Eldarion's aid was either too late for the power that hated Numenor had already awakened, or too early, for the time was not yet ripe for the Numenoreans to show their power, so Numenor effectively did little. For the avoidance of doubt, this was Sauron that Gil-galad sensed. He sensed him moving in the far corners of the world and tried to warn people, to little avail. We should mark this to his credit nonetheless. I think, therefore, that the key takeaway point here is that Gil-galad, and probably also his advisers, were far-sighted. They may not have known for sure that it was Sauron moving, and would not know for another 700 years or so, but they sensed something. Another hint of Gil-galad's wisdom and leadership came in the year 1200 of the Second Age. A mysterious, charismatic figure emerged, passing among the elves, offering to teach them great wisdom. He appeared fair and wise, but we read in the Silmarillion, "To Lindon he did not come, for Gil-galad and Elrond doubted him and his fair seeming, and though they knew not who in truth he was, they would not admit him to that land." But elsewhere the elves received him gladly. So Gil-galad and the young Elrond sensed something wrong with Annatar, the Lord of Gifts, when almost everyone else welcomed him with open arms. They were right, of course, because Annatar was Sauron in disguise. Eventually Celebrimbor, one of those elves who had left Gil-galad's kingdom for a bit of autonomy, or perhaps because of the lure of the wealth of Khazad-dûm, let Annatar in. And the two of them started forging rings of power, and we know how that went. Sauron, Annatar's deception, was a long con. He was 300 years in Eregion, forging rings of power with his new besties without any of them suspecting anything. But eventually he snuck off to Mordor, and belatedly Celebrimbor realised what was going on, and sent the three rings of power he had crafted alone, without Sauron's influence, to powerful elves he trusted. One went to Galadriel, and the other two went to Círdan and Gil-galad. Gil-galad got Vilya, the Ring of Air and the most powerful of the three, in recognition of his rank and authority. Sauron invaded Eregion anyway, and Gil-galad masterminded the resistance. He sent Elrond with an army to slow Sauron's advance, and dispatched letters to Numenor, to the then-king Tar-Ministir, seeking aid. The combined elf and Numenorean forces pushed Sauron back, and peace reigned once more. In fact, peace reigned under Gil-galad's enlightened rule for over a millennium and a half. He expanded the border of his realm even beyond the Anduin River, installed Elrond as his vice-regent, bequeathed the Ring Vilya to him, and generally ruled over a golden era. It doesn't get much focus in Tolkien's stories, because the best stories happen during times of strife, but this was a long, long time of blessing and harvest. Elsewhere, things were happening, of course. Numenor grew in majesty, then fell from grace, with the entire island continent being sunk without trace by Eru, Ilúvatar. The faithful survivors escaped to Middle-earth and, with Gil-galad's blessing, founded kingdoms of the south, Gondor, and north, Arnor. And Sauron, After playing his nefarious part in Numenor's downfall, rose once more to power and started pushing across the continent once more. Gil-galad steeled himself for another war with Sauron, allied himself with Elendil, and that's where Sam's song about Gil-galad comes in. The Fall of Gil-galad, it was called. Sam told it to Aragorn and the hobbits as they were making their way to Weathertop. Weathertop, or Amun Sul, was where Elendil and his army stood waiting for Gil-galad and his army. Together, they would form the last alliance of elves and men, and march eventually on Mordor to end the Second Age of Middle-earth. Sam thinks it's a rhyme that Bilbo wrote, but Aragorn says it is much older, and originally written in an ancient tongue. Bilbo had translated it. The part we hear goes like this. Gil-galad was an elven king. Of him the harpers sadly sing. The last whose realm was fair and free between the mountains and the sea. His sword was long, his lance was keen, his shining helm afar was seen. The countless stars of heaven's field were mirrored in his silver shield. But long ago he rode away, and where he dwelleth none can say, for into darkness fell his star, in Mordor, where the shadows are. That's all Sam knows. But we know what happened next. The armies did meet at Amun Sul, then marched to Rivendell, where they stayed and planned for a while, before crossing the Misty Mountains and heading southeast. We should give a quick mention here to Aeglos, Gil-galad's spear, which was greatly feared by his enemies. Unlike some famous swords, it had no other famous bearers, which is probably why so many people haven't heard of it. But in its time, it was just as feared as Narsil, Elendil's sword. We get what happened next from two sources. First, the Scroll of Isildur. Isildur's account of what happened that he wrote and left in the vaults of Minas Tirith before riding off to his own doom. That scroll was long forgotten, but discovered by Saruman, who then started hunting the Gladden Fields for the ring, and Gandalf, who read about the inscription on the One Ring and raced back to Hobbiton to see if his worst fears about Bilbo's ring were true. They obviously were. The second source we have is Elrond himself, who was also there. He says this at the Council of Elrond. I was the herald of Gil-galad, and marched with his host. I was at the Battle of Dagolad, before the Black Gate of Mordor, where we had the mastery, for the spear of Gil-galad and the sword of Elendil, Aeglos and Narsil, none could withstand. I beheld the last combat on the slopes of Orodruin, where Gil-galad died, and Elendil fell, and Narsil broke beneath him. But Sauron himself was overthrown, and Isildur cut the ring from his hand with the hilt shard of his father's sword, and took it for his own. Gil-galad died as he had lived, fighting to save the free peoples of Middle-earth. It is perhaps a shame that his death was overshadowed in the story by the death of Elendil and what Isildur did next. It is perhaps also a shame that he died before Sauron's overthrow, not knowing if his last desperate alliance with Elendil had worked. It had. It did. So what are we to make of Gil-galad? Why is he worthy of being such a legend? In the Second Age, he was the preeminent leader of the elves. Whereas Círdan may have been wiser and Galadriel stronger, he provided the leadership. But for his judicious decisions again and again, and his commitment to ally with the faithful humans generation after generation, Middle-earth would have fallen. It was him, rather than anyone else, who spotted Sauron's rise centuries before anyone else. Not that anyone else seems to have done much about it. He held together the opposition in the Second Age. Gil-galad is a legend, and it is right that songs have been made to celebrate him and his realm, which was fair and free, from mountains to the sea. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.